Body and we'll wait for people to take their seats. I think everybody here has been here before, but anybody new, if you're coming to the table, could you move the microphone close to your mouth because everybody loves to hear you. Thank you. And I wonder, is Dr. Hayley Bennett? Ah, she is. Good afternoon, Hayley. It's just the people at the back, Hayley, love to be able to hear as well as us. So we're looking at submission 731, which is page 90.
Tēnā koutou. Well, that's loud. My name is Hayley Bennett. I'm a public health doctor here in Rotorua. I'm Pākehā. I support the Te Arawa partnership model. I worked as a junior doctor in Rotorua Hospital in the early 2000s, and for the last 10 years I've worked in the specialist area of public health medicine. Through my work in public health, I have become aware of the unfair differences in health between Māori and non-Māori in New Zealand. In virtually every group of conditions, Māori have an unfair burden of disease compared to non-Māori. I have also learned through my public health training that these unfair differences in health, so-called health inequalities, stem from historical causes. As settlers came to New Zealand after the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi and the numbers of Europeans rapidly overtook the number of Māori, new laws and systems were put into place that collectively had the effect of disempowering Māori. Lands taken away, language and culture denied, loss of political influence under a new political system. All of these things meant that Māori lost control of what we call the social determinants of health. If you haven't heard of the social determinants of health before, I'm referring to things like healthy housing, safe and meaningful employment, a good education. These are the things that set the platform for people to be able to lead healthy lives. And at the same time as Māori lost control over the social determinants of health, new potent health risk factors were introduced to Aotearoa. Tobacco, alcohol, things that weren't in New Zealand prior to settlement. This story of loss of control of the determinants of health and new health risk factors is really well told in this book by Sir Mason Drury called Whai Ora, Māori Health Development. I recommend that everyone read that. So what has this got to do with the Te Arawa partnership model? Well, increasing meaningful Māori participation in local government is one way of ensuring that Māori regain some control over the determinants of health. And council does have a strong influence on the determinants of health. Council owns housing. Council has local alcohol plans. Council determines which part of our city is smoke-free. Council makes decisions that affect employment, like the Timber First policy that supports local employment. So council has a very strong influence on the social determinants of health. So increasing Māori participation in local government is one contribution towards righting the scales and allowing improved Māori health by allowing Māori to be involved in the decisions about the environment they live in, the determinants of health. Improving Māori health and reducing health inequalities is something that would benefit all of Rotorua and all of New Zealand, not just Māori, but non-Māori also. For the health differences are not only unfair, but it doesn't do anyone any favours to have part of our society that is not thriving and not healthy and not contributing, not able to contribute fully. So I reiterate, I support the Te Arawa partnership model as a contribution towards righting health inequalities and a step towards a thriving, healthy Rotorua community. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bennett, and that's quite different from other submissions. So we'll open now for questions. I better look both sides, Councillor Gould and then Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Dr. Bennett, for your submission. I'm quoting from the written submission, which we got on page 90. I'd like to see Rotorua District Council go even further and create a Mary ward.
Right.
You're talking about how many Mary in the one ward or two wards or three wards? Or
I'm talking about having seats on the actual council that are able to contribute to those decisions at the council, which is a step further than what we have here, which proposes that you have Māori on some of the committees that advise council and able to vote on those committees, but not a particular position for Māori on the council itself, which I would support that also. But this is about the partnership model that's been put on the table, and I strongly support that. And I would, for the reasons I've just discussed, I would even support stronger steps to ensure Māori participation.
Councillor Sturt.
Thank you. Thank you for your submission. I need to declare that I'm on the Lakes DHB.
Right.
Now, on the Lakes DHB, we have two representatives, one from Te Arawa and one from Tuwharetoa, and different representatives on all the five committees that the DHB has. And some of the issues you talked about, the determinants of health, are being addressed through those platforms. Do you support what the DHB has done in that respect?
Yes, I absolutely support that. But the District Health Board needs to be supported by the
council.
District Council,
yep. Okay.
Because the District Council has decision-making powers over a lot of the environmental determinants of health that lie outside the health sector.
And just further to Councillor Gould's question, so you would be supportive of a similar situation to the Regional Council, where they have three elected Māori representatives?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Kent.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Dr. Bennett. You're aware that there's a representational review coming up, so you will be able to put submissions forward in terms of your thoughts in terms of Māori wards and so on. In terms of the DHB, am I correct in thinking that the two Māori appointees to the DHB are actually appointed by government? Is that correct?
I can't answer that, actually.
Okay.
That's correct.
But if that's correct, then surely is that parallel is exactly the same then as the parallel that the government have provided for local authorities, which is to have, as you say, Māori wards. So if the mechanism is there already in law for Māori to have the representation they require, why do we need something that is not already in the law?
Oh, Chair. Yeah, you just press the talk button.
My understanding of the law, the Local Government Act, is that you must consult with Māori, but the choice that the council makes about how that comes into fruition has a range of options, and we're not taking the strongest option, which would be to create a position in the council that's for Māori, and Māori could elect someone to sit in that seat, and it would be specially put aside. That is the strongest option you could take, the Māori ward option, and I would support that.
Thank you, Dr. Bennett.
Thank you.
And now we have, can't see Rangika here. Okay. Okay. Tamati Coffey, are you able to come to the table? Does that throw you? Thank you. So submission 875, page 93.
Kia ora to the Rotorua Lakes councillors, to our Mayor Steve Chadwick, to council officials, members of the Rotorua public, iwi, and also to the pro-democracy group, Ngā Mihi Nui Kia Koutou Katoa. For the record, I'm pretty pro as well. I'm pro-partnership, and I'm here this afternoon to voice my support for option two in the Te Arawa partnership model on behalf of me, my mum, my dad, the rest of my whānau and my friends that are sat in this room here today, and the rest that are spread around the city and the world, and also for my husband Tim as well. The fear that surrounds this partnership proposal is similar to the fear that was flying around a few years back when the marriage equality bill was going through. At that time it was being debated, Armageddon was surely on the horizon. Brothers would be marrying their sisters, owners would be marrying their cats and their dogs, and the plague of locusts was sure to have been dispatched. It turned out that none of that happened. It was just a fear of change that led people to throw out fearful and scaremongering arguments like they did. So when I sat here yesterday and listened to the submissions of the various people who were pale with fear, talking about apartheid and corruption and tyranny, it made me want to donate my time today to addressing those concerns. The most repetitive concern that I heard was the fear of having unelected Te Arawa representatives sitting and voting at a council level. Well, I want to say that yes, they will be elected, and they will be elected by Te Arawa in our own way, with our own processes, by our own people. And those people that will be held accountable, and I can assure you that the checks and balances of Te Arawa by Te Arawa will hold representatives to account just as vigorously, if not more, than what you councillors have to deal with here in these council chambers. Which you'll know if you've ever been to a land meeting on a marae or any hui regarding representation of our people. Our iwi will have robust democratic elections voted for by our people to ensure a fair and transparent process so that candidates can have a clear mandate from the iwi. However, all of this will be for Te Arawa to determine. That's called self-determination, letting us determine what's right for our own people and for other Māori residing in our city, which the model also accounts for. We've always acted in the interests of Rotorua as a whole city, so why would people assume that that would change now? I also heard talk yesterday of Te Arawa looking for a free ride and asking whether they were power hungry in this whole saga. I challenge these people to prove how Te Arawa have taken any of these free rides or demonstrated any kind of power hunger here in Rotorua. It's well documented that Te Arawa have been generous donors of land, Kuido Park, the hospital, the government gardens, the lakefront, the school, not just for Māori, but for all of Rotorua. We've also been generous donors of funds for education, not just for Māori, but for all children of Rotorua. And we've even been donors in the use of our Māori culture for the economic benefit of this whole town, hoteliers, restaurateurs. We've kept this town afloat with our culture and not just for ourselves. A free ride? Power hungry? No. Te Arawa have held up our end of the bargain. We've paid our way and we've given a lot too. And we've asked for very little in return, other than to be taken seriously at a decision-making level. Yesterday I heard someone argue that there were already three Māori councillors and wasn't that enough for Te Arawa representation here in Rotorua? Well, quite simply, no. Because those elected members of Māori descent aren't put there specifically by Te Arawa to represent us. And what happens on the next intake, when there are no council members of Māori descent, where is there any form of representation then? The thing that made me saddest yesterday was when I heard over and over again the status of Māori reduced to an interest group. You see, in my eyes, interest groups are people that like to crochet, or people that like to play Scrabble, or people that like tulips. And I wholeheartedly agree, don't give those people special rights, they don't deserve it. But let's be honest with ourselves. Māori are not an interest group. We're partners in a bicultural nation that signed a treaty back in 1840 where the spirit was of partnership, of us both helping each other. Māori are equal partners in this land. We have a shared history. We were always supposed to be shared decision makers, yet there is no provision in this council that reflects that. Yet. There's a flaw in the local government process. You know as well as I do that engagement in local body elections are declining all around the country. You guys were voted in by just 40% of the eligible Rotorua public. And the voting pattern long term is trending downwards. So, do you keep banging your head against the wall saying that there's one model for all? Or might you consider changing that model? Well, here's a model, and it's come from Te Arawa at the grassroots level. So don't throw it away because it doesn't fit your current model. Te Arawa have participated in your model for the last 12 years via the Te Arawa Standing Committee, but hey, that didn't work. And I wonder why. It didn't work because the members felt that they didn't have meaningful engagement with the council. They were turning up to meetings where they felt that their time and energy was being wasted, and they were reduced to report readers and life-size versions of suggestion boxes. It wasn't meaningful engagement. It was tokenism because they didn't have decision-making capabilities, which stands on the dignity and the mana of those Te Arawa leaders that were appointed to those positions. The Te Arawa Standing Committee was pioneering when it was formed in 1993, but it didn't work. And so it's time for Rotorua Council to learn from your past mistakes and lead New Zealand forward with an innovative new engagement model. The Māori economy is here, and it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars to our Rotorua local economy. Te Arawa are big players in this town. And this is us, reaching out to Council, saying how we would like to partner up. Don't turn it away. For the first time, you have local Māori desperate to engage in local government, and surely that's unprecedented. So why would you stand in the way? Probably fear, right? Fear of getting it wrong. Fear of sharing the power. Fear of the unknown. Fear does terrible things. But don't let fear or insecurity stop you from trying new things. You get lots of respect for trying. You can put me in lots of boxes. You see, I'm Māori, I'm Te Arawa, I'm gay, I'm an activist, and I'm a small business owner. But I'm also young and a well-known member of the Rotorua community. And for the past few months, I've spoken to many of our town's young people and the general uninformed about this Te Arawa partnership model. They say to me, "Tamati, what's it all about?" I say, "Well, you know how Te Arawa own the land and the lakes underneath Rotorua, and the council manages everything on top of the land? Well, what this is a partnership model where Te Arawa will be able to sit at the table with the council and vote on issues that affect us all." They say, "And what's wrong with that?" I say, "Nothing's wrong with that. There's nothing to fear from anything that has Māori and Pākehā sitting together at the same decision-making table." Contrary to what I heard yesterday, I know that there's a lot of support out there for option two of this partnership proposal, especially amongst the new generation that aren't so caught up in power and politics. They support the partnership, and I do too. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamati. We have time for one question. Councillor Gould.
Chair, thank you, Tamati, for your speech today. Very inspiring. Question for you, when you talk about clear and transparent, how can you guarantee that all the people of Te Arawa or a majority of the people of Te Arawa will vote for the 14 people on the board?
Well, at the moment, all we've got is a model. So we have to work that out ourselves. But we've got some pretty educated people in our iwi. And we've got people that range from politicians to people in medicine. You've already heard from one today. Between us, we can actually work that out. You need to leave it to us to figure some of that stuff out. And it needs to be stuff that we figure out for ourselves. Like I said before, self-determination. We can sort it out. We don't need to run it past council.
Tamati. And now we ask, I did see Rangi Kaiheke. We'll just check if she's ready.
Aye.
She's coming to the table. Good afternoon. Don't rush. Gather your breath and your thoughts, but good afternoon, and do make sure the microphone's quite close to your Rangi Kaiheke, because people love to hear in the back of the gallery. And for councillors, we are looking at 834, submission 834, page 92. And you're also speaking on behalf of the trust.
Yes.
Is that, that's an extra?
That's an extra.
Yep.
I really wanted, if it's okay, to differentiate and do my own personal view first.
Yes.
And then just reinforce a trust view.
We'll take them separately.
Thank you.
We did that yesterday with a submitter. Thank you. So we're starting off on submission 834. Thank you, Rangi.
My submission, obvious. Oh, aroha mai. Tēnā tātou katoa. Ko te Rangi Kaiheke tēnei, Thank you for this opportunity to come and present my whakaaro to you all. Obviously, the nature of my submission clearly shows that I support the Te Arawa representation model. And I just want to take you straight to the few paragraphs that were clearly my own. And I'd like to read them, please, so that the wider audience may hear them. Rotorua deserves to have a fully engaged and actively participating whole of community. This is not possible because Māori, tangata whenua, Te Arawa, are obliged to practice a so-called democratic voting system imposed by a settler government that does not recognise the inherent rights of tangata whenua. Therefore, in my view, the democracy promoted as our democratic right is skewed in favour, is skewed to favour a Western non-Indigenous system of governing and government, whether at national and or central, regional and local government level. The lack of understanding by the pro-democracy society of inherent Indigenous rights, Indigenous human rights, is a dismal indicator of the continued institutional racism that is normalised by their so-called pro-democracy. Thank you, Mayor Steve, and councillors, for providing the platform for this review to happen. It is a huge and great step in the right direction for our city and community. It is a true indicator of tino rangatiratanga that has been sadly lacking in our council and politicians since the Fenton's Agreement and enactment of the Thermal Springs Act. This is a little bit of an aside, but it is a reminder to the wider community. The other two iwi signatories to the Fenton's Agreement should be acknowledged and recognised. Those are Ngāti Rangiwiri and Uanuku Kōpaku. That's the focus that I want to take. In summary, I want to congratulate young Tania. What I want to see for our community is that young Tania is not just unique in what she has achieved. I want that to be normal for young Māori youth. And the only way I can see that happening, outside of the fantastic work that she did in getting herself to this point, and the huge whānau commitment and other lobbying behind her, I want that to be normal for our city. Not, and I mean this in the best possible manner, not that one unique young woman might be considered a freak. A freak, when you talk about sporting people, are those fantastic young athletes that New Zealand has a propensity to produce. That is the type of people, more young Māori and all populations that I want for our city. That can only happen if this council and these councillors are prepared to find other ways to get our people to vote, to get them to have enthusiasm to vote. I'm not convinced that our voting system is the best system for our country and our city. One last plug. Voting over the net hasn't been introduced to our community as yet. I'd like to put that plug there because I know that's where you can find a lot of young Māori voters. Kia ora tātou.
Rurangi kāheki. Perhaps we'll stop there and ask for questions and then you can move into the next presentation from the Trust.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions? Councillor Weber.
Kia ora. Thank you, Te Rangaegi. I'll ask this question of you because I think you're a person that might be able to answer it. And I appreciate that you probably weren't here yesterday, but there's a view that's come through over the last day and a half that we are all one and we should stay all one, as in New Zealanders, and therefore council have opened up a can of worms and created a bit of a mess that wasn't there in the beginning because we're all getting along perfectly well. I just wondered, would you have a response to that?
I do have a response to that, and you might be a little bit surprised, but it's a little bit of a biblical response. And I don't have the exact words, but I think it's appropriate. My house is made of many mansions. We are all one people, but our house is made of many mansions. When you peel away the layer between Pākehā and Māori, for Māori or tangata whenua, that house is also made of many mansions, except we call ourselves nations. So I belong to the nation of Ngāti Rangiwiwihi. I am affiliated to the nation of Karangahapu, North Tarawa, so most if not all of them. And I definitely come from Tarawa Waka, Tainui Waka, and Mātātua Waka. That's how I would answer that. My house is made of many mansions. We may be one human race, but our house is made of many mansions.
Your next submission, which is submission 1488 on page 166. If you could just give us a mo to turn to it.
That particular submission, you, all of you will now realise that it is part of a generic submission. It suited the purposes of the trust at the time that I respond on their behalf, and in doing so have opted to support the generic submission coming from the rest of our whanaunga. The particular concern, I guess, being based out at Awahou and Hamurana, it is not mentioned in that submission, and it actually belongs to another part of Ngāti Rangiwiwihi. It comes from the Tarimano Marae Trust, and it relates to a public statement put out by the Hamurana Awahou Ratepayers and Residents Association, where they purported to oppose the Te Arawa model. I was charged with writing a formal letter on behalf of the Tarimano Marae Trust, expressing our disappointment, concern, whatever you want to call it, that as part of that ratepayers' community, I wouldn't say association, although there are individuals who belong, Ngāti Rangiwiwihi, particularly Tarimano Marae Trust and Te Tāhuhu o Tawake Heimo Trust, being the post-settlement governance entity which received Hamurana Springs as part of the cultural settlement package, have no support of that letter and pose the question, is that democratic for a ratepayers and residents association to make a public support when not all of the community that live in that rohe have or have not been consulted? Bottom line is Ngāti Rangiwiwihi is a hapū, and the trusts that perform both its cultural, social and business concerns were not consulted. We do not support that stance.
Would I just ask for clarification there, Rangikahiki? How many members of the trust do you represent?
On Te Tāhuhu or Tawake Heimo Trust, there are six trustees. Who represent Ngāti Rangi Wewehi. Oh, how many people? Oh, I'm so sorry. Technically, you would have to look at, you would have to refer to the latest census stats, which I think is nearing 3,000, maybe 3,500 people. I'm not quite sure. And outside of that, you have particular whānau who would say, excuse me, my whānau is 3,000 people. What you get with that is an organisation like Mangorewa Kaharoa Te Taumata Trust, who are also Ngāti Rangi Wewehi members. Now, they may be registered on all our different trusts, but they're not all necessarily all registered on the census. So technically, that's the answer there.
Councillor Stewart.
Thank you. I'll use your Pākehā name, Yvonne.
You may, seeing as we grew up with that.
That's exactly right. Thank you for your submission. I was pleased you clarified the mandate that you have from 2,500 to 3,000 people to speak on their behalf, because I think that's really important. In your submission, you said that the proposed model enhances council's decision-making for the betterment of everyone living in Rotorua. Would you like to elaborate on that, please?
Without taking away any of the good work that the Te Arawa Standing Committee has achieved over the years, there was a particular time when Ngāti Rangi Wewehi brought, I would say, the genesis of our concerns around the Taniwha Springs Nongataha water take through that Standing Committee. I would suggest there is even a record of a formal letter submitted. The atmosphere of the time meant that our letter actually went nowhere. So I guess that is my answer. The Standing Committee has done its best. The chair of the Standing Committee was previously always the sitting mayor. Whakaaro from or tono from iwi could be tabled through that committee. Those, in my view, were not making it through to full council. Through this model, we believe more of those issues will get to the level of council that we really need them to get to. And yes, I'm going to poke you in the eye. That may have been prevented, and council may not have had a bill that they needed to pay to Ngāti Mākino and Ngāti Pekiao. I believe those types of situations will be avoided, can be avoided, should be avoided if this model is in place.
Can I just also, just a supplementary question, a quick one, Your Worship. Yvonne, you and your iwi are involved in a memorandum of understanding with council. And do you see that as a great platform, and would you encourage council to enhance the MOU, MOU process as a way of directly negotiating and having eyeball-to-eyeball contact with council?
Look, that wasn't working for Ngāti Rangi Wewehi for a little while. It came about as part of the claims process. It was a means to an end. I think more for Ngāti Rangiwiri than council. It worked in our favour. We followed the Tūhorangi model, I think it was. What Tūhorangi have worked out suits Tūhorangi. What we have worked out suits us. We have enjoyed the relationship of being able to come and sit at the table with the mayor, deputy mayor and other councillors and the CEO. That has definitely helped develop a better relationship between iwi, Ngāti Rangiwiri and council. I'm not sure I've quite answered your question.
I just wondered if you, because it has been so successful and you've answered the question I posed, do you see an extension of that? Because we haven't got MOUs with other iwi. Do you see this model and the extension of MOUs enhancing the relationship between council and iwi?
I do, but I can't speak for the other iwi. They need to develop those relationships and get to that level of working relationship with council at that level. What I want to share with you, if I may... The original MOU was very much grievance language. The shape of the relationship with council now has meant that the new MOU is about the future and future development between iwi, Ngāti Rangiwiri and council.
And thank you for coming. Time is up there. And thank you for presenting on behalf of the Trust as well as your personal submission.
Thank you very much. May I wish you well for the rest of the hearings.
Thank you. Now we've got, I see Catherine, Kathy Phillips, welcome to the table. And we are now considering submission 883, and for councillors that's on page 94.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Catherine Phillips, and I have three children and eight grandchildren, all of whom have Maori ancestry, which both I and they are proud of. I am not racist. I do not believe in a society where one group of people have more rights than another group of people. I do want most passionately a New Zealand that both my dark head and my blonde head grandchildren can live in peace with all New Zealanders having equal rights. I am very proud to be a New Zealander, and I am justifiably proud of New Zealand's history of being one of the first countries in the world to give both non-property owners and women the right to vote. Before that, only male property owners could vote in New Zealand. Now, all New Zealanders over the age of 18 years have the right to vote in any general or local election. I consider myself to be a fair and principled person who believes in justice for all human beings. I am here today to speak on four matters: democracy, consultation, cost and a way forward. Democracy. I resigned from Rotorua District Council in November last year. I held the position of Council's Deputy Electoral Officer for the last three elections. Therefore, I am deeply saddened and indeed horrified to have to be here before Council today, trying to convince you not to change one of the most basic principles of a democratic society, and that is one person, one vote. In my position of Deputy Electoral Officer, I presented many reports to both Council and the Te Arawa Standing Committee regarding the legislative responsibilities of Council under the Local Electoral Act 2001. One requirement under the Local Electoral Act is to consider whether Council will establish Maori wards or not. The last time the Te Arawa Standing Committee considered this matter, the esteemed past Councillor Maureen Walker made poignant comments regarding the fact that in her opinion, Māori wards were not necessary because she represented all Rotorua people and highlighted the fact that already Māori were well represented on that, the previous council, with more Māori members than the ratio of Māori in the local electorate area. I believe that the ratio of Māori members or members with Māori family connections have been even further increased with this current council. A democratic society is one where no sector of society, either based on ethnicity, wealth, religion, or any other reason, has the right to have more votes than any other sector of the society. One person, one vote. Therefore, for all of the above democratic reasons, I believe that there is no justification in giving Māori any additional voting rights. Consultation. The basis of any consultation process should be ensure that any individual or group of people has the same rights to counsel as each other. This is a fair and just way of dealing with any consultation process. Usually groups of people have more sway than an individual, and the larger the group, the more the sway. Therefore, the process of input into council's policy and planning formation should be the same for all individuals and interest groups to ensure a fair, democratic and unbiased advisory and input system exists for the betterment of all people in Rotorua. I consider that the democratic governance model proposed by the Rotorua Pro-Democracy Society to be a better and fairer process than Council's proposed Te Arawa partnership model. Why? Because I believe the democratic governance model should ensure that the Māori community, the Rotorua community, and individuals' interests are all considered in a fair and unbiased way by the Mayor and the councillors of Rotorua Lakes Council. Cost. I believe there should be no cost to the ratepayer for any council consultation process. No individual or group of people should be paid to put forward their points of view to council for council to consider and resolve on. Why? If either an individual or a group of people receives payment for their input into the consultation process, then they have an advantage over other members of society in regards to their input into council's policies and planning formation. This is both unfair and unjust. Also, there were no detailed costs put forward in the Te Arawa partnership proposal. Even a child knows that if you increase the numbers of paid people, then the total payment is going to be increased. Council cannot afford this. The cost for any individual or sector to put forward their views to council should not be paid by the ratepayers who may represent other points of view. Therefore, no payment to any member or group of the Rotorua community for their input into council's policy and planning formation. A way forward. I believe that council should not proceed with the Te Arawa partnership proposal and instead initiate another referendum on the matter of Māori representation. Why? Because it is a number of years since the Rotorua community has had the chance to vote on this important matter. However, most importantly, the referendum must be legally binding. Therefore, the decision to hold the referendum would have to be resolved by council to be legally binding so that the public had confidence that the opinion of the majority would be upheld in this matter. The referendum would also provide council with important information on the views of the majority of electors for council's future planning. I have spoken today on what I consider to be four very important matters in regard to Council's Te Arawa partnership proposal. Democracy, one person, one vote. And the fact that the proportion of Māori on the current council is above the proportion of Māori in the community. Consultation, I consider the pro-democratic model to be a better option than the Te Arawa partnership model. Cost, there should be no payments made to any individual or group for putting forward their views. And a way forward, council to hold a legally binding referendum. I wish to table this presentation in support of my submission.
Thank you, Cathy. And we'll open now for questions. Councillor Gould and Councillor Serenc.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Cathy, for your submission today. When you talk about a binding referendum, you also spoke in your speech that just over 40% of the people voted in the last election. How can you guarantee you could get a fair answer on the referendum if you got less than half of the people of Rotorua who voted in an election?
That is a democracy. If people don't choose the right to vote, then nobody can. The majority rules. And that is sadly one of the downfalls of not having people legally made to vote as in Australia.
Thank you, Cathy. Your question or your suggestion of a referendum, with a referendum one has to go out with a definite yes or no. So I presume you mean that we should be putting a referendum out on Māori seats at the table?
Yes, I think you should. Yes. I think that was put, I don't know how many years ago, but in the very early years, we've been here about 23 years, but yeah. Sometime early in that piece, there was a referendum that went out. But you must ensure in your resolution that it is legally binding. Otherwise, a referendum is not, council is not legally required to comply with it. So you must have in your resolution legally binding.
And Cathy, could I just ask, the proposed model that you are supporting in your submission is unpaid Māori members on an advisory committee.
Yes.
And yet the Te Arawa Standing Committee were paid members. Why would you take that away in participation?
Because for the reasons that I believe that people should put their forward, everyone should be on an equal basis. So an individual doesn't get paid to put forward their submissions and their views on matters of council. Why should a group of people, you know, get that advantage? So I feel it gives an unfair advantage to any sector of the society.
Thank you. Councillor Stewart.
Yeah, thank you, Cathy, for your submission. Based on your experience as an electoral officer, and you talked about the proportions of elected members around this table.
Yes.
What, if we were to go out with a legally binding referendum, which is the only way to go, how many proportional seats would you suggest we have for Māori?
I think that depends on, well, the council, and also I think it is in legislation also what proportion of Māori seats there can be. So,
thank you, Cathy.
Yeah, that's all right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Nice
wish
to
you
see
well.
You again.
Yes, nice to see you all again too.
Is Glenys Ihaka present? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Glenys, we're just asking people if they make sure the microphone's quite close to you so that the gallery can hear.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. And for councillors, this is submission 922, page 96. Thank you.
Before I start, I'm going to ask you for your understanding, for as with my walking stick steadies my steps, I need to use these notes to capture the words that have the annoying habit of disappearing white when I need them, and to stop any unrelated words sneaking in, often to my embarrassment. Thank you. Greetings to you all. Like many of the other speakers before me and those coming after me, this is the first time I've ever written, let alone presented, a submission, and to do so to such an august group. So I've come before you with some fear and trepidation, probably akin to how you felt when the 2 days of listening to a new speaker every 10 minutes stretched out to 5. I humbly thank you all for making yourselves available to listen to me and my fellow speakers. My stress, though has been high, is short-lived, but yours, I suspect, will last longer. I know you have all thought long and hard about the Tiara proposal. I also know only too well my asking for 10 minutes of your time is highly unlikely to make any difference to your position. So my few words to you amount to me trying, walking stick and all, to push water uphill with a rake. For I have no new argument to add to this debate. I certainly won't say anything you haven't heard before, which begs the question as to why I bother. I have bothered because I love that I am privileged, just as you are. I am privileged to be living in a place as unique and fantastic as Rotorua is, and because I believe in fairness and justice. I know as well as you do, much in life isn't fair. But you are faced with the task of deciding if this council is going to act fairly and justly. Being but mere humans, it's all too easy to think other sensible people think the same as we do. They want what we want, and they know what needs to be done for the betterment of Rotorua. As a council, you are charged with consulting with the various groups making up our community, each with their own sensible thoughts, wants and wishes for Rotorua. And if you decide to act fairly and justly, you must treat each group equally. No one group, for whatever reason, should be treated differently by the Rotorua Council. Now, Tiara, in its wisdom, has asked the council to approve the establishment of a Tiara board. The old standing committee obviously being thought to be inadequate. They feel they need to have a board of 14 and all that entails. They believe this will facilitate their ability to speak wisely to council. And Tiara believe it is the responsibility of the council and thereby the ratepayers of Rotorua to finance their board. Tiara have held many hui and have come to you saying that for them to be heard respectfully, they also are seeking voting rights on specific committees. They have told you why they feel entitled to these privileges. This is what they believe they need to talk wisely to you. This is what they seek. And who am I to argue? Council could say it is acting fairly and justly in granting their request. But I respectfully say to the council that by consulting with Tiara, the council is not consulting with Māori. My words as those of many others are silenced because my hapu and iwi are not from here. So if you're going to be fair and just, and seen to be fair and just, the council needs to sponsor and finance another board of at least 14 members made up of non-Te Arawa Māori. To be fair and just, this board will need to have voting rights on the same committees as well. And non-Te Arawa Māori will be able to give you a whole host of reasons to support this entitlement. But if the council is going to be fair and just in its consultation with this community, it must set up equivalent boards for all the groups within our community. Boards for the blind, the deaf, for the elderly, for the shop owners, professional groups such as doctors, teachers, scientists, engineers, a board for newcomers, and one, of course, for the farmers. And so I could go on. Te Arawa, in their wisdom, have decided they need a board of 14 to speak wisely. If this is truly what is required, then to be fair and just, the council must allow each group its own 14-member board, and each group must have its two voting members on the proposed council committee meetings, which Te Arawa have assessed as being crucial to having their words heard adequately. I do argue that Te Arawa are an important sector of our community. They should be heard and they should be consulted. But is not my voice as a non-Te Arawa Māori, as a woman, and as a European, have value? Does it not deserve to be heard as well? Do not the words, the thoughts flowing from the deep spiritual pool from which many Ihaka preachers have drunk, my grandfather Purapi, and then there's Kingi Ihaka, and maybe in a very small way myself, are not our thoughts worthy too. So I sit before you in my insignificance and beg you to be fair and to be just. Treat all groups that form our community the same, for each group can present you with reasons why they are special and unique, and why they are entitled to be consulted. So I ask you to listen widely and carefully, and to form a structure for all to be heard. And as a ratepayer, I beg you to choose one that won't be a financial burden for me, for my children and my grandchildren. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Glenys. Do we have questions? Councillors, do all.
Thank you, Mrs. Ihaka, for your submission. Are you aware in the Local Government Act that a local authority must establish and maintain processes to provide opportunities for Māori, and I take you at all Māori point, to contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority, that there are no other provisions within the local government authority to have special relationships on a involving them to contribute to the decision-making process of the local authority with the groups that you mentioned?
Just turn your microphone on, please, Glenys. It must have pinged off.
Push the big button.
Yes, I'm aware of that, but I think it would be a very foolish council to limit who they consult with.
Could I just ask a question about where did you get the information that the board was going to be funded by the district council?
from the papers, they've talked about anything from 300,000 up to 500,000.
Okay. We'll have to correct some of this information. Oh, do they not? Are there any other questions? No? Thank you. Thank you for coming. Is Robert Monk here? Robert. Thank you. We heard, Robert, do bring the microphone close to you so that everyone can hear. Thank you. And before you begin, for councillors, it's submission 926 on page 97.
Before I start, I have a couple of questions which I'd like to ask of Glenys Sarank. Is she here?
It's not proper to ask questions of individual councillors. I'm sorry, I have to disallow that. This is your chance to put your submission.
That's all right then. I'll second guess what her answers would have been. Councillors have known for several years that Te Arawa Standing Committee has been dissatisfied with its effectiveness and frustrated with trying to make it work. The council has done nothing constructive to put in place a better means of providing Te Arawa participation in the affairs of the district, not just the city, but the district. Faced with council inaction, Te Arawa has proposed a means of participating which would involve them doing all the necessary work. What else could they do? All council would have to do is to say yes and then to provide some funding, although maybe that's not so. The papers said that. The trouble is that this proposal of Te Arawa is very divisive in the wider community, and I believe it will also be divisive within Te Arawa as time goes by. It hasn't got any legitimacy in the public eye. I believe that if council agrees that more participation is desirable in its various committees for Te Arawa, then it needs to provide for this in the same way that the New Zealand government has. Everybody views that arrangement, considers that arrangement has some legitimacy, even though they might not agree on its basis. First, council needs to decide how many additional Maori representatives it needs on council. Then, in my opinion, it should split the electoral roll into a general role and a Maori role, just as the national one is, and create the number of Maori wards required to provide the additional council members that it feels are required. The new Maori wards would have to provide even coverage over the whole district so that everybody is satisfied. A number of hapu would probably have to be grouped together in each ward. These hapu would then propose the candidates for which they would vote to represent their ward. And one of them would be voted in the district elections. It would be the duty of their representative to keep them advised about what is happening in council. That's my submission.
Thank you. And that's a different angle again. So at the end of 5 days, we're going to hear many views, which is helpful. Questions, I'll ask Councillor Sturt and then come over to the other side.
Thank you very much for your submission, and the Mayor's right. Another option, another angle. However, you're proposing that you go to Māori wards and you talked about splitting the roles. What becomes of all the Māori that aren't on the Māori role? Where's their representation? They stay on the general...
They would stay on the general ward and vote for the general... for the representatives in their ward, their district ward, whatever it is.
Councillor Gould and then Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Robert, for your submission. I'm quoting from your written submission on our page 97. It says here you divide into, say, 6 Māori wards.
Yes. In my submission, I've suggested that I've assumed that you probably want about 6 members for enough members to attend the meetings of the various committees that are requested representation on, and so I've suggested ways in which the district could be divided up based on iwi lines or hapu lines.
Okay. My question was for the general role. Were you wanting ward system as well, or just first past the post for X number of councillors?
I'm assuming that the current ward system would continue on.
We don't have a ward system any longer. It's at large. But that's all right. You're coming up with a new constitutional model. Mm. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'm not sure whether you're aware, but when councillors are elected, they swear that they will look after the whole community. And I'm just wondering how, under the system you have proposed, would those iwi reps be able to do that?
They wouldn't. Because it would be in conflict. They wouldn't. And their brief would be to represent the people within their ward, the Maori people within their ward. And so they would have a duty to go around the various marae in their ward and hold meetings there and tell the people what they know,
and
what's happening.
I appreciate that. Once we're in this room, though, we are bound to represent everybody, not one specific group.
Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to depart from that.
Considering all sorts of options, I can see. And I must ask, is your beautiful pōtai symbolic of anything new? Your hat? Oh, it's wonderful.
It follows the advice of the New Zealand Transport Agency to be seen.
Great. Good on you. We are seeing you, and thank you for coming. Any
thank
further
you.
Questions? Thank you. And we're just doing a sweep around. We were to go till 2:30, and Marinus isn't here. Marinus? Okay, so is there anybody in the room listed for after afternoon tea that would like to come forward now? If not, we'll convene for... No, he's not coming. No. So nobody is ready to come forward, so we'll break and we'll... 3:00. If you... Yes. He's advised that he's not appearing. So with the tolerance of the whole gallery and councillors, we should try to reconvene at 2:45, I feel, do you? And in the hope that we have an early arrival. Great, thank you.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Kia ora up the back. Can you hear me up the back?
Yeah, nice and clear.
Nice and clear? Oh, up high on the middle.
Thank you.